Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Luke 24, 32. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing on prothumos. Prothumos. Or how to get your heart burning. Prothumos. And Luke 24, verse 32, it says, "And they said one to another," the guys who were on the road to Emmaus, after they realized who they were just walking and dining with, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Did our heart not burn within us? Right? They were so excited. What great passion and excitement that they had after walking and fellowshipping with the resurrected Christ. Their hearts burned within them, right? And I think we've all been there before, right? We've all had those moments before where our hearts just burned within us with excitement. We were just so lit up because of what God had did for us. Whether it was the first time we remember speaking in tongues, whether we heard that incredible teaching that we told everybody about, whether we expounded the scriptures to somebody and really laid it out for them, but it just got us so excited, right? We took a stand for God's word. Well, the word of God speaks of five things that we can do to get that passion, that excitement, and that energy going. And each of these involve the word prothumos. Prothumos. So prothumos is a Greek word. It comes from two words. It's a compound word. The first word is pro, which means before. And the second word is thumos. Thumos, which is a passion, a spiritedness, a fiery glow, or an intensity. Okay? A spiritedness, a passion, a fiery glow, or an intensity. And so when the two words are together like this, the before refers to the downturn or the subsiding of the thing. So literally it means intensity at its peak, or excitement before it subsides. So like right at the top, right before it starts to fade away again. So that's what the word means. Intensity at its peak, you know? In other words, it's like, I'm psyched, or I'm jazzed, or I'm stoked, right? Or I'm pumped. That's what it is to have prothumos. And it's used only 9 times in the Word of God. And it references in those 9 times 5 specific things that we can do. So what are the 5 things that we can do to be psyched or pumped or stoked? Go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 41. So God uses this word, intensity at its peak, to refer to 5 different things. Just 5. And Matthew 26, verse 41, the context here is that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying right before his crucifixion, on the eve of his crucifixion, and he asks Peter, James, and John to pray with him. And he comes back, he finds them asleep in the previous verse, but verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing," and that word willing is prothumon, okay, from the same root here, prothumon. "The spirit indeed is prothumon, but the flesh is weak." So praying is the first thing that God talks about with this word, praying, praying. So one of the things that we can do to get our intensity level up is pray. We can pray, and we can pray a lot. We can pray a lot. The second usage is in Mark 14:38 for those taking notes, but it's the identical record, so we're not going to go there. But that's the second usage. It's the identical Garden of Gethsemane record. But we can pray. And that's the foundation of all of it, right? It helps maintain a relationship with God. That's the purpose of prayer, is to maintain a relationship with God. And we, as born-again believers, can do something that these guys couldn't do at that time, and we can speak in tongues, which is perfect prayer. Perfect prayer, right? And in this verse, it says that the Spirit is indeed willing. It is indeed part of the intensity at its peak. Whereas the flesh is weak, the Spirit is strong. Right? We can pray. Our praying should be plentiful. And speaking in tongues is a big part of that. That's the best vehicle for it. Because speaking in tongues doesn't require your mental faculties, right? I don't have to think about what I'm speaking in tongues. I just do it, right? The Spirit gives the utterance. So I just do it. So I can do it while I do other things, right? I can do it while I'm driving, or while I'm cleaning, or while I'm baking, or whatever it is. I can speak in tongues. So God wants us to speak in tongues, and He wants us to pray a lot. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says that we're to pray without what? Ceasing. A lot. We're to do it all of the time. So if you want more spiritual excitement in your life, pray. Pray. Make time to pray. Pray a lot. Think about praying whenever you can. Set a little alarm on your phone to go off every 15 minutes. A little beep that makes you pray. Just do something to pray a lot. The second thing that we can do is in Acts 17, verse 11. And prayer is just that vital. It's so important. We want a spiritually exciting life. We got to have a relationship with God the Father. And prayer is key to that. Acts 17, verse 11. Third usage, second subject, second topic. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." And that readiness of mind is the phrase prothumia, from the same root, intensity at its peak. They received the word of God with such an intensity, right? And searched the scriptures, what? Daily. Every day. Every day. That's intense. Every day they made time to look at God's word. Search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, to check them out. Therefore, many of them, what? Believed. Believed. Right? And that's what searching the scriptures results in. If you look through God's word with an intensity, if you make it a priority in your life, if you search the scriptures to find out what the word of God says, it's going to result in your built up believing. You believe more of the word of God. So the second thing that we can do is we can feed our brain the word. We can feed our brain the word. We can search the scriptures. We can listen to teachings. We can study. You can do a word study. You can memorize scripture. If you feed your brain the word, it's going to build your believing. It's going to build your believing. And it's going to get your heart burning. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. The more that we hear something, the more likely we are to believe it is true. Right? If someone told you that you were, somebody told you that you were ugly or that you were dumb, and they told you that every day for like a year, you might start to believe it, right? You might start to think, I'm ugly or I'm dumb. So if we put our head in the word every day, and we start to look at the scriptures every day, and we look at what it says every day, that helps to build our believing that what it says is true. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Right? Get into my word. Let them, those words, not depart from thine eyes. Keep looking at them. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Think about them. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So life, peace, health are found in feasting on God's word, right? And that's a promise from God's word. So we're going to benefit as we keep our heads in it. All right, the next thing is in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, this verse 15. So we can pray a lot, and we can get our heads into the word a lot. Read the Bible. Listen to teachings. Talk about the word with somebody. For out of it are the issues of life. Man, if you've got questions about anything, how to handle something, the word of God has an answer. Romans 1:15, the next thing. So, as much as in me is, that's a great phrase. As much as in me is all that I've got. I am ready, and that word ready is prothumon, intensity at its peak, to do what? Preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So, the third thing that we can do with everything that we've got is to share the word, to speak it, to hold it forth. Verse 16, for I am really, really bummed and scared to talk about it. It makes me feel crummy when other people look at me funny. I am ashamed of being a believer because nobody else believes it. No, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the third thing that we can do is we can speak God's word. Tell who I know. Right? The B-I-B-L-E. We can speak God's word. We can tell people what we know. Share the word. Tell people about God. Tell people about what Jesus Christ accomplished. Don't be ashamed because it's power. Verse 16 says, it is the power of God to save people. Telling people about what Jesus Christ accomplished is the only thing that gets people born again. It is the only thing that delivers people. That's it. And we know about it. We can share it. We can have other people understand because we've told them. How cool is that? And sharing God's word really amps you up. It's what God wants you to do. So he's happy to energize you to do it, right? When I think about the times where I've been really amped up on God's word, it's been sharing it. It's been telling people about it. It's been sitting at a diner with people from work and just finally getting the gumption to tell them about God's word and what I believe. And I just feel jazzed afterwards. God works in you because it's what he wants you to do, is to hold it forth. The next thing, the fourth thing, is in the next four usages, and they all occur in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10. So we can pray a lot, we can keep our head in the word, and we can share it. Speak it forth. 2 Corinthians 8:10. It says, And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, again, readiness is prothumia, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, that's prothumia again, willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Okay, and so this section of scripture here, and into the early parts of chapter 9, deal with a giving of abundance, right? A giving of your abundance, and giving in general. So all four usages, we'll keep going here in a second, but they all refer to a giving of your abundance, right? And we do that with our abundant sharing, right? We give of our abundance. And we just do it in general to help take care of other people in the body, right? We give of our talents, we give of our time, we give of our material things, we give so that other people's needs get met, right? Verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen, and this is referring to Titus, who oversaw all of this abundant sharing, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind, your intensity at its peak, right? And so he assisted with the administration of all of this giving. Chapter 9, verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind. And that is the fourth. Forwardness of your mind, also prothumia. For which I boast of you to them in Macedonia and Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So I've been bragging about all the giving you guys are doing. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, so the fourth thing that we can do to get all jazzed and excited is we can give of our abundance. And there's my little cornucopia, right? The horn of plenty, the abundant sharing, right? In whatever category we can give of our abundance to help the body, to take care of other people, right? So that their need is supplied. And again, it's not, as it says in verse 13, so that we're burdened. Right? It's not so that we have a lack, but we give of our abundance so that we're still taken care of, and then the other people get taken care of too. So, needs get supplied. That's how we take care of other people. And then the fifth one is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. So give. Give a lot. Right? If you want to get your brain off of what's going on in your life and what's so bad about things going on, give. Because when you give cheerfully, right, then you get your mind off of what's going on with you and how to take care of other people. And it makes you happy. And it blesses the body. 1 Peter 5:2. feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And that ready mind is prothumos, intensity at its peak. And so the fifth thing that we can do is we can care for the flock, pastor people, right? Which really boils down to love and to fellowship. Fellowship with people, care for them, serve. Get in there and get your hands dirty. Help to take care of people. Your service takes care of the body, right? And if you do it with an intensity, right, it's going to build up that burning in your heart, right? You're going to be so thankful and so blessed to be able to help people and to be able to take care of them. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, 3. And sometimes doing that is hard because people are messy. But the Word of God says that we're to love. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I sometimes am really curmudgeon to think about you because I had a tough day today and I just need to relax. This was hard. No, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Whenever I think about you, whenever I pray for you, I make requests to God for you. And it blesses me so much. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So thankful for your stand. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing. This is what I'm confident about. That he, referring to God, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, God called you out from before the foundations of the world to be his kids. That was the beginning of his good work in you. And Paul here was confident that God would continue that good work in their lives. So when he thought about the believers, no matter how messy they were, no matter how difficult they were at times, that God called them too. That they would carry out their place in the body. That they would have something to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, even as it is meet, right, acceptable for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. You know, obviously I'm going to do this. I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Same grace given to me, you all get to share in. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Love people. Be thankful for them. See the best in them. The way that God sees them, right? Because that's how God sees them. And that's what it is to care for the flock. That's what it is to love people. So if you do those five things with intensity in your life, you're guaranteed to be filled with excitement and passion and a burning in your heart, right? Pray. Feed your brain the word. Speak that word. Give of your abundance and care for the flock. That stuff is what's going to energize you. That's the stuff that's going to really get your heart burning, right? If you coast, just like on a bike or anything else, you'll eventually slow down and come to a stop. That's what happens. Eventually, the momentum goes away. But we can build that spiritual momentum by doing these five things and keep ourselves really moving, right? If you go home tonight and read Acts 2, 42 to 47, right, what it talks about the early church doing, those five things are all over that thing. That's what they did. That's what they did. They got in the scriptures daily. They prayed. They fellowshiped together. They spoke that word. And they gave to each other so that everybody's needs were taken care of. That's how the first century church operated. That's how things exploded. So that's what we can do too.